HarperCollins presents Pat in the City by Patricia Field, read by Eliza Foss. A note before we begin. To view the author's personal photos, don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider. To Sultana, my grandmother, who taught me love and confidence, and my mother, Marika, who taught me independence and ambition. Introduction. Facing a wall of boxy hoodies, t-shirts, and sweatpants, I started to get a not-so-great feeling. I was on a shopping trip for the men on Run the World in the lead-up to the second season of The Stars Show, which was set to begin shooting in a few weeks. I was thrilled to be working again on the costumes for the half-hour comedy about smart, funny, and ambitious female friends living and loving in Harlem. Dubbed by the media as the Black Sex and the City, the show was a fun and nuanced portrayal of independent, modern black women who, of course, wore wonderful clothes. For the women, we had already found some incredible things, including hot pink mules for Sondi, a Vuitton purse for Whitney that was so tiny it looked like it had shrunk in the dryer, and for Renee, a fierce bodycon monochromatic robin's egg blue ensemble, including lace gloves, stockings, purse, and pumps. But for today's shopping trip, I was not feeling inspired. I don't love men's clothes because they are expensive and dull. The contemporary conventional man doesn't have many options when it comes to style. Most of them are stuck in a box, a cold, gray, blue, or black box, totally square. I'm always trying to put men in color, if I can. When Blair Underwood had a multi-episode arc on Sex and the City as Miranda's love interest, I wanted to put him in a pink shirt, but he thought it made him look too effeminate. I didn't fight it. I'm a costume designer, not a dictator. We compromised on red. But I've always wondered why men aren't allowed to enhance themselves. Why should being artistic with their form indicate something about their sexuality? In many other points in history, heterosexual men took pride in dolling themselves up. During the Age of Enlightenment, straights like Mozart paraded around in wigs, powdered faces, lace jabots tied around the neck, high heels, and hats trimmed in braided gold or decorated with ostrich feathers. I feel badly for the men of today. I would be bereft if I couldn't wear makeup. But all hope is not lost. Years after Sex and the City ended, Blair came running up to me at an event to tell me that he was the proud owner of a pink suit. I'm always pleased to have a positive influence on others. Now I was the one in need of a little uplift, since not only were we shopping for menswear, but we were doing it in a rigid, lifeless store. A few of us from the costume department had convened here because that's where Run the World's costume designer, Tracy L. Cox, wanted to meet. Tracy, who had been an assistant costume designer on the final season of Sex and the City before becoming Sarah Jessica Parker's longtime personal stylist, is really good with men. No matter the actor, budget, or story, the look is always about the combo. Tracy is able to put wardrobes together creatively for men and women as well without falling into flamboyance, which is a tightrope act I don't always achieve. For Ola, Run the World's Nigerian-American doctor, Tracy had concocted the idea to cut his pants so they showed the ankle, in a subtle nod to the pants style typically worn by Nigerian men. An outfit, whether in real life or on the screen, sinks or swims by those little details. Spying an orange Valentino hoodie for $1,150, I was reminded that Tracy also never looks at price. We all have our weaknesses. Wait until we get the bill, I thought, as he pulled out a black...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?